quick thought with you from 2 Thessalonians tonight, chapter 3. And we'll do some special things this evening with Restorathon on our hearts and mind tonight. And I don't know, we don't normally ask for visitors on Wednesday evening. I don't know if we have anybody visiting with us, but Wednesday night, maybe even more so than some other nights, is a kind of a family night with our local church. And we're talking about one of our very, very important ministries God has given us here at Landmark, and that's our radio station, our radio broadcast, not only locally, but on the internet. And we're so thankful God's given us this ministry. I want to talk to you for a few moments about it tonight, a devotional thought about two words that you'll find in the passage here that I'm going to read. I'm going to read you two verses, first two verses of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, but there's a word there in the first verse that talks about free course. Free course, and I want to talk to you about that for just a couple minutes tonight. We're going to hear some testimonies, maybe, hopefully, depending on how long I go, maybe we'll have some time for even to hear from you tonight if God's stirring your heart already about Restorathon and what He's going to do. Hoping to hear from some special folks, some of the staff folks at the radio station. Got Bobby and Betsy and the family here. Megan's here tonight. She's going to be sharing with us. No, I'm just kidding. If we hear it through the wall over there, she might be sharing with us, but we're glad to have Bobby and Betsy down for a Restorathon, and they're here for the special occasion. But let's look at two verses together tonight, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." I just want to touch base real quick. We've talked about this passage some times in the past, and my dad's preached on it, of course, as he's went through many of the books in the Bible as pastor here. But the context, Paul writing to this church at Thessalonica, I often call it a model church. I wish our churches, our Bible-believing churches today in this time, in this country, were like the church at Thessalonica. I wish God could brag about us like He does the church at Thessalonica, and I'm not going to talk too much about that, but you know the background. It's good to have the information when you're reading a verse like this to help you understand everything. Acts 17 talks about when Paul went to Thessalonica that first time and how he preached, and many of the Gentiles amongst the group, for the most part, many of them believed, but there were some Jews that got upset about him coming and preaching. Verse 5 of Acts 17 says they were moved with envy against him. And what they did was, after they got upset and were moved with envy, they consorted with the baser sort of people. They went and got with some people that didn't have much morals, that if you paid them some money, they'd do anything you asked them to do. So they basically were going after the life of the Apostle Paul. He had to leave by night and leave Thessalonica, and they took him to Berea. And he preached in Berea, and the scripture says that the Jews that were in Berea were more noble than the Jews that were in Thessalonica, because when he preached to them Jesus Christ, they searched the Old Testament scriptures to see if it were so. It says they were more noble. And by the way, I've preached on that before, but that's a good rule of thumb for you, okay? When you hear somebody preach, search the scriptures to see if it be so, okay? All right? And my study and my dad's study your dad's study or whoever you can, it doesn't take the place of your study in the scripture, okay? And that's vitally important. I think for some reason some churches don't emphasize people personally studying the scripture, but that should be emphasized. And when it says study to show thyself approved, it's not talking to the pastor of the local assembly, it's talking to the individual believer, okay? So we're all supposed to study the scripture, and it's not anybody else's job to study the scripture for you. Even if they want that job, it's not their job, okay? All right, well, that's another message for another time. But you know the background. And so these people at Thessalonica, they had been persecuted by the Jews. They had been persecuted by their own countrymen, the scripture says. So when they received the gospel and received the truth, it wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't like times were good. It's the good old days. You can stand up and preach and not face any persecution because of it. No, it wasn't like that. It was a very... the society and the time that they lived in was in great opposition to the Lord's work, okay? Kind of like our society is beginning to shape up to be, okay, in the present day that we live in. So these folks at Thessalonica knew when Paul spoke to them here and wrote this letter to them, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, of course, Paul is the human instrument, author of this. He says, pray for us. Three things out of verse number 1. Number one, pray for us. Number two, he mentions the word of the Lord. And number three, he talks about the word of the Lord having free course and being glorified. I think that's interesting. I think any outreach ministry that we participate in, it needs to go like that. Prayer is the beginning, the first thing you do. Then it has to involve the Scripture. There's great programs, I guess, to try and reach folks that are on the outside, but if it doesn't involve the Scripture, it's not a great program anymore. And then seeing the results, the opportunity, having free course, seeing that ministry take some root and have some life of its own. What a blessing that is. So I want to talk to you about those 3 points real quick as kind of a devotion tonight in reference and in the light of our radio fundraiser that's coming up. We need prayer, don't we? I hope we've already been praying for Restore-a-thon because it's spiritual work. It really is. The radio station, it's involved in a spiritual work. It really is. I know it literally takes physical equipment and physical understanding and physical power and physical people to do it, but it's spiritual work. Prayer is spiritual work. Prayer is the greatest privilege that you and me as believers will ever be afforded to participate in. Prayer is a wonderful thing. We heard a wonderful message in College Chapel yesterday on prayer by Johnny Pope, who was in town preaching not too far from here. And I think he preached for about an hour and a half on prayer, or pretty close to that. And it was tremendous. It was what we needed before Restore-a-thon. It really helped me. It blessed my soul. I know that. Prayer is spiritual work. You know, the flesh doesn't like to participate in spiritual work. At least mine doesn't. I don't know about yours. In fact, the flesh, when you do try and participate in spiritual work like prayer, the flesh even wants to take control of that and say, well, let's talk about what I want. Let's talk to God and do some spiritual work, and let's give him a whole laundry list of things that I want. That would appease and satisfy the flesh. If that's what your prayer life's like, you're not doing spiritual work. If that's what my prayer life is like from time to time, then it's not spiritual work. Because prayer is spiritual work. Not only is prayer spiritual work, it's spiritual warfare. Yeah. Satan is referred to as the prince of the power of the air. Well, we broadcast on the air. We're in his territory, okay? We're invading enemy territory through the radio waves, even locally, our local tower, and then through the internet. That's definitely his territory, by the way, also. And our station that goes all around the world, we're actually participating and involved in spiritual warfare. And we know today, the day that we live in, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rules of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. We know what the Scripture says in Ephesians 6:12. And that's what we're involved in. Spiritual work, spiritual warfare. But what I also like is that prayer is spiritual wonder. I heard my dad talking to Brother Pope yesterday, and he says, you know, whenever I have in my notes about answered prayer, mentioned answered prayer, he said, I have a hard time with that because I want to tell so many different stories about how God's answered prayer. And he once he gets going, it's hard to get stopped. You know why that is? Because prayer is spiritual wonder. It's like you leave the natural and you go into the supernatural when you get into the spiritual work of prayer. God gets involved. You know, we'll never know this side of heaven how many people have heard the gospel because of our radio station. We'll never know this side of heaven how many people have heard and responded and accepted the gospel because of this outreach ministry we have here at this local church, Gospel 90.3. And the radio and the AM station, of course, also. And that's tremendous stuff. So we ought to be involved in that, in this ministry, even if you're not the one pushing the button up, even if you're not the one recording a program, even if you're not the one that's working on the equipment. If you're praying, you're involved in the spiritual work. Not only does it involve prayer, but it involves the Word of the Lord. I like to call it the Holy Scripture. I talk about the King James Bible. It is the Holy Scripture. You find that term in the King James Bible. It's the Holy Scripture, okay? It's not lacking anything. I don't have to look anywhere else for it. It's right here in the language I speak. That's very convenient of God to do that for us. Very thankful for that. And our radio station takes the Holy Scripture, the Word of the Lord in context here, and takes it places that you and me will never go ourselves. I'm talking about locally, it'll take it places where we won't go, and it'll take it around the world places where we'll never go. The radio station goes where missionaries will never go. How about that? That's an incredible thing to be involved in, isn't it? that's an incredible opportunity to participate in the spiritual work of the Lord. And we have that, right? God's so good to us to give it to us right here with our radio station, our radio ministry. What an incredible outreach ministry. You know, I would even say it this way. Our radio station, our outreach ministry, even crosses or reaches across denominational lines. All right? There's a bunch of people here locally, they'll never, for whatever reason, they'll never step foot in this building right here. Whatever hang up, whatever tradition, whatever it is, they'll never come in this building, but they will come under the outreach of our radio station. And that means we should use our radio station to condemn everybody else and say we're right, right? No, it means we should put them under the sound teaching of the Word of the Lord. There's a lot of folks, good folks, okay? Good folks. I would say believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some folks that are in what I would call bad churches, okay? But they're good folks, okay? And they'll get taught the Word of the Lord or doctrine, right doctrine, sound doctrine from our radio broadcast, and they'll never get that where they locally assemble. So how important is this ministry? It's tremendously important. What a wonderful opportunity outreach God has given us through this radio station. Like the last part of verse number 1, it says that not only prayer is involved, pray for us. The Word of the Lord is involved. The Holy Scripture has to be involved if you're going to have a profitable ministry. That's just how God's designed it. And that's he just like He designed the local church and uses the local church. That's His plan for this age. Well, He uses the Scripture, of course. That's His plan for all the ages, okay? All right, but I like the last part. It says that the Scripture, or that the Word of the Lord, will have free course, and then it goes on to say, and be glorified even as it is with you. I could read you verses there, how He came and they came and they preached at Thessalonica. It was received unlike other places where they preached, and they took it as the Word of God, and they believed it. They put their eternal weight of their eternal soul upon the truth that was preached about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they gladly received it and didn't just keep it for themselves. Then they gave it out to all those they came in contact with, even beyond their reaches there in Thessalonica, all the way to Achaia and other places it speaks of in the Scripture. And it says here, the Word of the Lord have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. You know, this ministry reaches and ministers to the military around the world. It ministers to shut-ins. It ministers in the nursing home to the residents. I used to, before I moved to Georgia, I was pretty much in the nursing home here, one of the nursing homes here locally every week. And I would go in their rooms and I would hear the radio station on their rooms. Brother Barry probably could give a testimony about that even now, as he's in there probably pretty much every week. And they're to nursing home residents. And I tell you what, they need it worse than me and you need it, the broadcast. It reaches missionaries on foreign fields. Here's a missionary in a foreign place, not where they grew up, not their culture, not anything, and they're giving out all the time. Well, it's good that they can also get in and receive something. And they can do that through the internet and the radio station broadcast and even our church website. And we've had testimony of our missionaries talking about listening to our services, having and actually setting up church and having church just amongst themselves and their families for the radio broadcast or an internet broadcast. How about that? That makes me feel good about this ministry, amen? I see the Lord's blessing upon it. It's great. I mean, sometimes we'll never know until we get to the other side, but it's good to know now, too. What a blessing that is. It's almost like we can take a part of ourselves. We like what we have here. You wouldn't be here tonight. Okay? We can take that and we can share that with others that are beyond our reach, so to speak, locally. All because God's made it possible to give us this opportunity, free course, through this outreach ministry. I think that's a wonderful blessing. The Word of the Lord can be glorified somewhere else, even as it is right here. I'm thankful. This is the church I grew up in. We know that, I think, for the most part. I'm thankful that the Bible, the Holy Scripture, has been preached from this, actually, even this pulpit, my whole life. It's been glorified here. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, has been preached, not apologized for, but preached unashamedly for years after years after years. Right here, it's been glorified. And we can take that same glory that it's received here in this local setting and share it with others outside this local setting. Because of this outreach ministry, the radio broadcast that God's given us. So when we have this time for Restore-a-thon, this is our 14th one. I counted, took my shoe off a minute ago during prayer, and I counted, it took both hands and almost four toes of one of my feet. 14th Restore-a-thon. First one was in 1997, out at the old location where the AM site is still operating from now. And Jeff Cruz can tell you all about it. I was there. Jeff Cruz was there. A lot of the other guys, there's two guys that are pastoring now that were at that first, one in Orlando, one in Astatula, if you know where that's at. And they're pastoring now that they were at that first Restore-a-thon. Matt Pouts was involved in that first Restore-a-thon, I'm pretty sure. And we had a good time. We even tried to do it all night the first night. 1997, we were going to go 24 hours. And I remember, I think the, maybe Brother Hill can remember this, I don't know, but I think the teachers were gone on a fax trip during the first Restore-a-thon or something like that. Because I remember being at home by myself, and I remember keeping the radio on during the night, not sleeping much, but waking up, and those guys got so loopy. You think it's loopy now. You're talking about super loopy on the radio that night. I called up on the phone and spoke to the guys. It was Travis Lane and Randy Daniel, and they started talking over the radio to my dog at my house. That's loopy, man. That's loopy. There's more to that story, but I'll just leave it at that. So now, this is the number 14 of Restore-a-thons. And so Matt and I have the exact excitement it did that first year, okay, trying to restore that old historic hotel building that became Landmark Baptist College and the home of Gospel 90.3. It might not have as much excitement as Restore-a-thon 98 when we were raising the funds not to just restore the building but to move our radio station from that location to the new location where it's been at for all those years. That was exciting, you know. And then the different years, you think of the special year with the homegoing of Rich Lemon, and that was in 2004, Restore-a-thon 2004. All the special things you can think about through the years. You know, maybe sometimes, you know, we're getting into, I mean, number 14, it's not quite as special or as momentous of an occasion, but I tell you what, in a sense, it's the greatest one yet, okay? Because God's let us do this and continue to do this, and He's expanded our outreach and our ministry, and we're seeing fruit and results that God knows about, some of that we know about, and I think it's just getting better and better and better, and I think the world needs it worse now than they did it back in 1997. Because there's been a lot that's changed in the last 14 years. And the world needs help. The world has questions, and only God has the answers for them. So, with all that said, the Scripture does say, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. So when we participate in God's work, in spiritual work, we're getting an opportunity to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We get to transcend the physical realm and go into the eternal realm. And that's what God's afforded us with this wonderful opportunity, this outreach of our radio station. So I'm excited about it. You know, it's sometimes after the flesh, it's hard to get things excited sometimes when you've done it so many times before, but I'm excited about what God is doing. And I'm so excited we have God's restored our broadcast area for the most part. So much better than it was a year ago at this time. Covers locally so much more, and I'm thankful for that because that's such an encouragement to hear the phone ring, isn't it, fellas? And when you're talking to more people, there's more chance of the phone ringing. And I'll just leave you with this thought, 422-9583, all right?
Amen. You're going to hear a lot of that in the next 3 days here. Thank you, Stephen. I have some good thoughts on it, folks. God's in it, or we still wouldn't be in it ourselves. Amen. And to take what we enjoy here and share it around the world. I mean, start with, we didn't share it around the world, but it amazes me now. I told the teachers tonight in the teachers' meeting how good it was to have a preacher call me on the phone that I had never met before and just thank me for the blessing of hearing us over the radio. And that is tremendous. And the challenge is great. The devil hates us even more than he used to because we're reaching more. And so we've got to pray and meet the challenge. Stephen mentioned that Bobby and Betsy is here. We're glad to have them. They've come in to help us on the Restore-a-thon. And I was joking with them a little bit about snow and stuff a while ago, but I'm going to ask them to share a little testimony. I believe they're going to be here Sunday, so we'll get to hear from them again on Sunday. But any of you guys got microphones around? If you would, come on down here. I'm going to start off here with Bobby and Betsy, and then some of the rest of you may have something to say before we run out of time. But it's good to have them. I asked Betsy if she'd changed her wardrobe since she left here. And I think so. I think things have been different. Bobby said he'd finally bought a snow shovel. Is that right?
That's right. We bought our first snow shovel a couple weeks ago. So some of you Yankees be proud of me. We got the job done. So a lot of people have been asking how we've been adjusting and all that, and we've done very well. Appreciate your thoughts and prayers that way. My wife, you know, shortly after we were up there, it was cold, and she bought me a hat, you know, one of those hats that go around your head, but also had the things that come down around your ears. So I'm out there in sub-zero temperatures, you know, looking like some Russian from Siberia or something. All the church people making fun of me, but if I had an AK-47, I'd be all right. So, but we're excited, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here, and we're thrilled where we're at. We're in Trafalgar, about 45 minutes south of Indianapolis, and from those of you from Kentucky, about two hours north of Louisville. And so y'all come up and see us sometime. We're a small church out in Cornfield, USA. It's rural, let me tell you. I can't hardly get a high-speed internet. We were kind of having a few laughs because Patrick Boyle, a good friend of mine, just got high-speed internet while he was on furlough this last go-around. And I couldn't get it out there where I was at. And, you know, I thought Obama was going to take care of that, but like, not yet. So, but anyhow, but you all come see us, and we love to see people from Landmark. We had a couple visitors, my sister and Gracie and Amanda came around Christmas time. That was refreshing. But we're there because we believe the Lord has us there. And it's all because people need the Lord, you know. And amen. And yeah, it's a privilege to serve the Lord, opportunity to, you know, roll up your sleeves and serve God. And we're dealing with the youth and the music. You know, I guess technically I'm assistant pastor, but, you know, it's a small church, probably, I don't know, 150, 160, give or take a little. And so it's a privilege to be there. We're having a great time. In reference to Restore-a-thon, I you know, I don't really know what to say that you probably haven't heard already. I think about that verse in Matthew 21:21, where Jesus told his disciples, if you have faith and doubt not. And he had come into Jerusalem, cursed the fig tree because it didn't have any fruit. And right there in their presence, presently it withered away, the Bible says. And he said, if you have faith and doubt not, you can not only do this to the fig tree, but you could move mountains.
Amen.
And, you know, it behooves each of us to know the devices of Satan, what he uses in our lives. And the Bible teaches that clearly we're not to be ignorant of his devices.
Amen.
And one of his strongest devices, I know in my life, is doubt. And yes. We're even warned about that in 2 Corinthians 11:3 to not be tricked like Eve with the subtlety of the serpent, but to keep that simplicity that's in Christ. And, you know, if you have faith and doubt not, God can move mountains. And I don't know all the needs of the church right at this moment and the radio station. I do know by experience that this is the most important week of the station every year.
Amen.
And I think it's not so much a matter is if God can do it as if we believe he can do it.
Amen.
And so if we'll be faithful and to prepare and to pray and to be clean and to do what God would have us to do, he'll do his part. And so let me encourage you. You know, we've had some great moments, and we think about that verse, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And he's got to get in it, and I believe, you know, we don't listen to the radio much in Indiana, I'll be honest. We really don't. There's nothing up there, really. There's a couple of FM talk radio stations, pretty powerful, that every now and then we'll tune into, but we listen to pretty much iPhones, iPods, and CDs, you know, because we don't have this ministry. And, you know, again, it's all about people needing the Lord in the ministry. It's not about you. It's serving people, and great radio station that ministers to so many people. And I'm sure the outreach has increased even since in my absence as we watched it grow over the last few years. But looking forward to working with you guys and rolling up our sleeves and being a part of this ministry. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thank you, Bobby. Let Betsy there say a word. She, I don't know, Tell us your side of it, Betsy.
God didn't just answer my prayer. I was praying he would miss me. well, I actually am really enjoying living in Indiana. I remember in college visiting Indiana a few times, and my grandparents actually live there not too far from where we are. And I was like, oh, I don't want to live in Indiana. But Lord just opened so many doors for us. And Bobby and I comment often just how much, like almost every day, God just reassures us, you know, just with little blessings. Like, we just feel so unworthy. Like, why are you blessing us so much? You know, I mean, we're serving him and we're trying to serve him, but it just seems like he blesses us beyond what we serve him. And we have really settled in, and we are adjusting to the cold. Megan is adjusting to the cold. We dress her up, and she looks like the little Michelin man out in the snow. But she's kind of enjoying not having to wear a big, heavy coat here in Florida, so that's nice. But we are having a good time. We're really thankful to be back in Florida. Thank you, Preacher, for the opportunity of allowing us to come back. We never thought we'd be back this soon, but we're really, really thankful that we got to come home. But we're excited about going back to Indiana, too, because the Lord's doing a lot of good things in our life there.
Thank you, Betsy. When y'all get back up there, close the cold door, will you? Some of it's been leaking down here a little more than usual. Oh, it's going to be good to have time to fellowship with them. And, of course, you're going to be hearing them on the radio, too. And like Stephen said, we're very excited about it. I just wonder, in our midst tonight, I don't know how many of you have. Let me ask this question. How many of you have been through all 14 of them? That's quite a few hands. How many of you have been through 5 of them, you think? That's a few more hands. Well, it's exciting. Wonder if we got somebody. We got just a few minutes here. Got somebody that'd be willing to stand up and give us a word about it, a testimony about it. Maybe some blessing related to the restore-a-thon. Maybe God's spoken to you about it in a special way. There is a spirit of revival that has taken place, Adam. I hadn't heard the word loopy before. I'm not sure that's a spiritual word or not. But if it takes getting loopy to have revival, we'll get loopy, amen? But we have had a revival spirit about it, and it has been an unusual thing, a catching thing. I see a hand over here, Brother Pritchard, come down and catch Brother EJ there. He'll give us a testimony about it.
I thought Loopy was the girl's name. Anyway, our church closed the door Sunday night in Holland, Michigan. So guess what? We're on the internet.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Landmark Baptist in Holland, Michigan.
Amen. Gosh. Amen. That's good. And I'll tell you what, it's not all the way in another state. Some around here. Some around not too far from here. I've had some testimonies. What Stephen said a while ago about crossing denominational lines, I don't mind crossing them as long as we're taking the truth across them. And that's not a compromise on our part, as long as we're giving the truth of God's word. That's all right. Amen. What did I say? Who's got a hand up? Anybody? Somebody else want to give a testimony here? All right, Brother Nixon's up there. Go ahead. Did I say that?
Amen. Sunday night. But he said that's our preacher. I said, yeah, it is. The next thing we gotta do is try and get it through the door so we can meet you in person. But the radio station preaches everywhere.
Amen.
And when I told her that she could go back home in Missouri, just on the internet, and I gave her the address for it. She's thrilled to death. Maybe she can get him to listen at home.
Amen. There's another testimony there. Amen. All right, somebody else. Got a hand over here in this corner. Terry, you can stand up and start talking. There's nobody up there with a mic. I think they decided the balcony was off limits tonight or something.
Last year at this time, Brother Mark
That's amazing to me. It sure is. But in a place like that, they were able to listen in. All right, Mandy's name down here. Got a hand. Art Bud's got a hand up close. I'm trying to spot somebody close to a microphone there. Go ahead.
Pastor, I know you and I both remember the fights that we've been through to get that radio station where it is.
Yes, I do.
And I just want to say that it's on my car radio and has been ever since I can remember.
Amen.
And I used to lose it between here and Claremont when I go up to see the kids, but you can hear it all the way now.
Amen.
And it just goes to prove that when you're doing something for the Lord, He always blesses. And Amen. I'm sure He's going to bless us this year.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, bud. All right. Somebody else. Appreciate these testimonies. We've got a hand right here. All right, Carrie.
Pastor, I just want to say that when I speak with Tom and Jerry Kane, our missionaries to India, they often tell me that they're blessed by the radio station. And she had even put in the internet one time that she had a song request of Across the Miles. And the morning show, I remember Matt Pouts played that. And it was just such a blessing to know that they're all the way in India, but they can still hear and be blessed by that song, Across Amen. The Miles. And it's just wonderful that we have it here.
Amen. All right, got to Wally's hand up over here, Brother Herman, if you can get to him. And somebody else will get their hand up where I can see you.
I want to do what you call reminiscing just a little bit about the radio station, because I can remember well back in the days when you were on Sunday morning for a few minutes, and the station was owned by somebody else. In fact, I remember one time being interviewed by you about the bus ministry, I think, but started out, then the Lord gave us the AM station, and we didn't reach a very big area, but we did reach an area.
Yes.
And I had the blessing of being on the desk there for 89 in the summertime and 90 and 91 in the afternoons, volunteering, relieving somebody that was on there. But then we started the Restore-a-thon, and all this modern technology comes in now. And when I think about that little station before we even were given it, and now we're all the way around the world, it just boggles my mind. But the reason that's been successful and the reason it's happened is because of the Restore-a-thon and the funding from the pledges that comes in, which is absolutely mandatory to purchase all this modern equipment, the website, and all those things. So that's why we keep having this Restore-a-thon, and that's why we have to keep being faithful in our giving, because we absolutely have to have the imperative of getting this gospel around the world. And it's this Restore-a-thon that makes it possible. So I just felt like just going way back there before we had the station to where we've come now, and it's such a blessing.
Amen. Started with a 15-minute program that we paid for on the little station that's when somebody else owned it. All right, got a hand right there.
We hear the radio station over the internet in Holland, Michigan.
Amen.
And it comes through very, very plain. I think we can almost see the shoestrings on people's shoes.
Yeah.
And it's very good. We got over 100 churches in the city, and this is the best message in town.
Amen.
And we can be thankful for it.
Yes, thank you, Brother Louis. Amen. All right, if somebody heads on down to the front row, if another hand goes up, Manny's down here, it's his hand up, Brother Perkins' hand up over here. Y'all gonna have to come on to the front, whether you like it or not, fellas. We're getting more hands down front than we are back there. All right, Brother Perkins right here. Raise your hand, Brother Perkins. There we go.
Preacher, I just wanted to confirm what Stephen talked about a little while ago about how the radio station meets other churches. In my work, I meet quite a few people all over the county. And it's amazing how many different churches there are out there.
Yes.
And it's amazing how many of them listen to 90.3.
Amen.
And I tell you, people, if you hand out tracts or go soul winning, you'll see the need. It's very great. And please give.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Perkins. All right, right here on the front, Herman, while you're close. The man has had his hand up several times.
I do want to praise God for the internet station. I remember being overseas even before I got here, and I know I couldn't make a church service. And now at that time, Landmark didn't have a internet online broadcast, but in fact, I didn't even know about Landmark, but I knew about Jack Treber's church, and Jack Treber had a ministry just like what we got now over the internet, where we can broadcast live services. And I praise God because, you know, being overseas, you can't always make a church service as a military member. And so I just want to praise God for that. We have that now, and I'm sure lots of soldiers,
yes,
are out there right now. And I've heard testimonies about Afghanistan and places where in the desert where you can't even tell the God. I mean, I've been into the desert. You're not even allowed to have a New Testament on you. And so it's a real blessing for that, just from my heart. And I also just want to praise God just real quick for the for two broadcasts that we broadcast over to Unshackled. Man, I mean, that going over the airwaves for an hour, I mean, that's a powerful yeah, gospel story.
Amen.
And also Lester Roloff getting on there. Probably my favorite preacher in the whole wide world. He's gone now, but you know that Lester Roloff was a preacher. Amen. And I praise God that we can air stuff like that over here, and it's still current, preacher.
Amen. Yeah,
it's still current. And I just praise God. Praise God for that. So
Lester Roloff, being dead yet speaketh. All right, we got about one more here, maybe somewhere.
Hello, Pastor. I just wanted to say that even the public schools, the teachers and principals in the public school, I remember, you know, I'm a freshman in college now, but being in high school, listening to it all the way almost to Orlando, where I went to school, where the one block over, you were straight into Orange County, and just listening to it as I drove to school and came back, and through conversations with my vice principal, I found out that he listened to the morning show.
Amen.
And, you know, he's a vice principal of a public school. And yes, it was just very encouraging to know that even
Amen.
He could hear
That's
it.
Good. That's good. Amen. All right, Brother Lloyd.
I remember the first one that I listened to, I guess, was the one that you all were going to run around the building there. I don't know how many years ago that was, if they ever knew the first one or what. If it was the first one, then I guess I listened to every one of them so far. So, anyhow, you run around the building, and now there's gospel going around the world.
That's good.
So, I'm thankful for it. For it.
Amen. Yes, I remember. I remember when I heard them on the radio say they were going to run around the building. I was heading out there, and for some reason I got in the room with them. Maybe I thought they were getting loopy. I'm not sure. And a stranger pulled up that time of night, walked in the door, and I said, "Can I help you?" He said, "I come to see him run around the building." Strange things have happened. Dr. Lee.
Preacher Wally's reminiscing brought back to mind to me the, remember the blind lady, Maybelle? She used to listen to you when you were on paying for the time on the old station, and she came to it where you couldn't get you anymore, but then she had a difficult time with the corrupt attorney guardian over in Osceola County.
Yes, yes.
And she caught you back on the air again.
Yes.
And
right.
She called you, and
right,
you ended up taking me over, and I got involved, and we were able to get rid of the bad attorney and bring her over here, and she passed away.
Yes.
And everything she had, she left a landmark.
That's
because
right,
of the radio station. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been a long time back, but God's used, Stephen was preaching about it, some phenomenal wonder things. I mean, just wonders, that's what's happened. And That was one of them. I had not thought of that in a good long time, Dr. Lee. All right, it's 8:30. My time's up. Choir needs to get ready for Sunday, but let's do it this way. Let's ask everybody that will, bow your head where you are, get on your knees where you are, or come to the altar one. Come to the altar if you're able to. I want us to just have a word of prayer about the start off in the morning, about the kickoff in the morning. And it'll only take us a couple of minutes. I want you to pray in your heart. I'll say something out loud. That doesn't matter. What matters is that we just get together in our hearts and ask God for a victory. That when midnight Saturday night comes, we'll know that God's been in it again. We're going to shorten Thursday and Friday nights a little bit because there's a big dead space up from about 10 to 12. But we're going to finish up at 12 on Saturday night. Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight through the scripture, through the message, and through the testimonies. Father, how wonderful it is to see your hands been on the ministry, to see what you've done from such a little start long ago, and yet day by day and week by week, we've been consistent to get the word out. And now you've enlarged it, Lord, to where it goes around the world. My Father, what a wonder. What a super thing you've done. Lord, only heaven will give us the final count. Father, there'll be souls, I believe, that'll walk up to us in heaven and say, thank you for the radio station. We hear that now, every now and then, from various ones. But Lord, we only hear just the tip of the iceberg of what you're doing. Father, how wonderful it is that your very word can be preached and get into the airwaves. And by the miracles that you've allowed men to create, they couldn't do it, Father, except your creations out there to carry it around. We thank you, Father, that on the ether waves of the air, your word can be picked up by a little cheap instrument somewhere that's turned on. Maybe it's a soldier boy in Afghanistan, or as we heard from this week. But dear God, we thank you for that. Now, Lord, help us to hold our end faithful. Lord, we do have to pay the bills. Every time that somebody picks us up on the internet, they can only do so because we're paying the bill on that. But we thank you, Father, that you've supplied our need, and we're looking for that again this week. Lord, may it start off great in the morning and just continually, Father, grow. May we sense your presence, know your spirit is leading. Give the men on the air the voice and the strength, all the supporting people that will be working with us, so many, all those that will be answering phones, the ladies that'll bring in the snacks to them, all the paperwork that has to go with it. Lord, we pray you'd be in every bit of it, that you'd guide and direct. That, dear God, we could lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, have his word glorified around this globe. We commit it to you, Father. We trust you for it. Lord, you've done it before. We ask you to do it again. May we go in depending, not on our experience, not on the past, not on some of the new technology that we may have that we didn't have some years back, but we go in trusting you and ask you, dear Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus and through the shed blood that brings us into your presence, to take over and to bless. And we will praise you for it in Jesus' name.